This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. In the name of Allah, we start. Walhamdulillah. And all praise is due to Allah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, Aisha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she said, one time as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was coming back home, he seemed to be in such a great mood. So I told the Prophet of Allah, ud'u Allah li, pray to Allah for me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed for his wife, ready to hear this beautiful, phenomenal dua. There are four parts to it. He said, Allahumma ighfir, O Allah forgive. O Allah forgive Aisha's past. Whatever she did in the past, forgive her for that, Ya Allah. Forgive her future. Whatever she would do in the future, forgive her for that, Ya Allah. And her outward actions, any actions of her body, of her tongue that she did that was wrong, Ya Allah, forgive her for that. And her inward actions and any wrong actions of the heart. Allahu Akbar. One more time. O Allah, forgive Aisha's past, forgive Aisha's future, outward actions and inward actions. Aisha said, when I heard this dua, I was so happy, I was so excited. I fell on the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the hikt. I was so excited. So the Prophet said, do you really like the dua this much? And she said, of course, I love the dua. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wallahi, I swear by Allah, Aisha, this is a dua I make every single salah to my ummah. Allahu Akbar. To those who believe in Allah and His Prophet, may Allah make you and I be encompassed in that dua. May Allah make you and I be among those who die with La ilaha illallah as our last words. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. This comes to show you how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was concerned about the ummah, not just of the companions at the time, but even those that come after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One time the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and just to remind you to say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he visited a graveyard. And then he greeted those, the believers that passed away and were buried in this graveyard. Assalamu alaykum dara qawmin mu'mineen. Then he says, and inshallah soon we will be joining you. All of us will go back to Allah. Then he said, I really miss my brothers and sisters. I really miss my brothers and sisters. So then the companions, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we are your brothers, are we not? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bal antum ashabi, you are my companions. But my brothers and sisters that the Prophet misses and would love to see them, they are the ones that come after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, I am waiting for them on the day of judgment. Where? Next to a water tank, a water basin. Al-Hawd, every Prophet is designated one for them. And the Prophet said, this is where I'll be waiting for those who believe in the Prophet, believe in Allah and die with such belief. May Allah make you and I meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, that was his attitude. And his mercy was beyond your imagination. Look what he said. He said, every single Prophet had an ultimate wish, but I chose not to use my ultimate dua in this dunya. What? He said, I didn't want to use it in dunya. I saved it for akhirah, for the afterlife, to have the greatest intercession and to help as many people as possible. Allahu Akbar. Do you appreciate this hadith? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have used this ultimate dua and say, oh Allah, elongate the life of my son Ibrahim, who passed at a very young age. He could have said, oh Allah, make me never get injured in battlefields. But he kept the dua to encompass you and I, inshallah, and encompass the greatest of the creation in general. May Allah protect us and allow us to be honored to take part in that intercession where we benefit from it. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, the 11th year after immigration, in the first few months of it, around the beginning of Rabi'il Awwal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to feel sick, started to experience much pain. And the Prophet ﷺ, the pain was so much that it became unbearable. He cannot handle it. He cannot walk from place to place. And out of all the places that he could have been treated at, he chose to be next to his wife Aisha. May Allah be pleased by her. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he felt that pain, he was not in her house, in her place. So he was dragged, he was carried all the way to the house of Aisha, where Rasulullah ﷺ stayed. And she did everything she possibly can to serve the Prophet ﷺ. She said, when the Prophet ﷺ was sick and he was in pain, and take this action item, may Allah bless you all and cure those who are sick. The Prophet ﷺ used to read 3 chapters into his hands. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, the whole surah, chapter 112. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ, the whole surah, chapter 113. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, chapter 114. And once he's done, he blows into his hands. Then he wipes over his body and wipes over where the pain is at. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And just an FYI for your information, the blow can be before or after, and difference of opinion, both acceptable, inshaAllah. So the Prophet ﷺ used to do that. But Aisha said, the Prophet ﷺ reached such pain, exhaustion, sickness, that he could no longer do it to himself. So she said, I then held the hands of the Prophet and I read Quran into the hands of the Prophet ﷺ. Why you did that, ya Aisha? Because his hands were more blessed than my hands. That's from her intelligence in the deen. So she blew into the hands of the Prophet ﷺ and she wiped over the body of the Prophet ﷺ. And when the companions, they heard of the sickness of the Prophet, they got so worried. Rasulullah ﷺ is that sick? Is that much in pain? And the Prophet ﷺ told his wife and told his family to pour water over him, to give him like a shower, to energize him, to freshen him up. So he wants to go deliver a sermon to the people. And the Prophet ﷺ, he sat into like a tub, and then his wife and family start pouring water over the Prophet ﷺ until he signaled with his hand that, you know what, you did enough, you did enough, thank you, that's good enough. And then the Prophet ﷺ got clothed, wore his clothing to the masjid, and he head towards the podium, the minbar, where he's about to deliver his speech. And the Prophet ﷺ, I will share with you 3 parts of that speech. He began by saying, Inna Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given a slave of his, Allah has given a slave of his 2 options. The option to stay in this life and enjoy the luxury of this life, or an option to return back to Allah and enjoy the reward of the afterlife. And that slave of Allah, he chose the latter. He chose to return back to Allah and the reward of the afterlife. When the Prophet ﷺ was saying this, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq started to cry. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, we will give up our families for you. We will give up everything for you. We will sacrifice everything for you. We love you, Ya Rasulullah, we love you. The companions, they were shocked at the interruption of Abu Bakr. They said, what is wrong with Abu Bakr? Why is he reacting like this? The Prophet ﷺ is saying about a man who was given 2 options and chose one over the other. Why is he reacting like that? In one narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تبكي يا أبو بكر. Abu Bakr, do not cry. Then the Prophet ﷺ addressed the entire crowd. He said, out of all the people, out of all the nas, the people, the most person I am grateful for his friendship, for his assistance through thick and thin, especially financially, when I was struggling, he was always there for me, is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And he's sending a message to everybody. The masjid has many entrances from the homes directly. Yes, some people's homes had a door that goes right to the masjid. So he says, I want all the doors to be shut, except the door from the house of Abu Bakr. Keep that door open for him to enter the masjid from his house. Allahu Akbar. And the second part of that sermon to share with you, brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the companions, I will precede you, I will be going before you, where? On the day of judgment, to that water basin, that water tank, and I'll be waiting for all of you there. He's giving them an appointment, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, I see it from here. Inni la'anzuru ilayh, Allahu Akbar. He sees the hawd from his position in Medina, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to share with you the third part of the speech, he says, I am not worried that you guys will go back to worshipping others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm so concerned and worried about you competing towards this dunya. That you'll be so obsessed about this life that you're so much into it that you've lost focus in the grand prize, in the akhirah, in the seeking the pleasure of Allah, in the purpose of this life, the worship of Allah, I'm concerned about that. And in one previous narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you guys will compete into this life the way the people in the past, previous generations, previous prophets, when they came with their people, they competed towards this life. Then they got destroyed. And I'm worried that this will happen to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you brothers and sisters, along with myself and my family, not to lose focus into the akhirah. May Allah not make us into this point of envy towards one another. Oh, they have a nicer car, they have a nicer house. So we push and we strive just to go compete in worldly matters. May Allah grant us steadfastness. May Allah grant us wisdom. May Allah grant us halal income. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ended his speech and he went back home. But brothers and sisters, his health wasn't doing very well. He tried to lead every single possible salah. Every salah that is out there, he led sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, until one night, it was Isha prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's time to go pray, to go to the masjid. And the Prophet's house was attached to the masjid. He had a door, he can leave from that door right to the masjid. And his house was on the front left of the masjid. He got up to pray. And he fainted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What? He lost conscious. Panic. What's going on? What's happening? Within minutes or hours, Allah knows best. But in that same night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regained his consciousness. He woke up. And the first thing that he said, the first concern that was in his mind was what? Asalla an-nas? Did the people pray? That's what he said. That's what he's concerned about. Asalla an-nas? Then the people in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, la. No, they have not prayed. يَنْتَظِرُونَكَ. They are waiting for you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got some water, washed himself up to be energized, tried to get up again, fainted. Second time. For a minute, an hour, Allah knows how long. But on that same night, he woke up, regained his consciousness. And the first thing he asked about, أَصَلَّ النَّاسِ. Did the people pray? That's his concern. Can I ask you? Did you pray? Did I pray? Are you ready to answer that question when Allah asks you on the Day of Judgment? That's the first question Allah will ask us about. Did you pray? And did you pray right with your heart and your body? May Allah make you and I pass that test on Al-Qiyamah when Allah asks us. That question, may Allah allow us to be able to answer when we're proud of our achievement. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Asalla an-nas? Did the people pray? Then he was told, no, they are waiting for you. So the Prophet ﷺ got some water to freshen up, tried to get up again. Fainted. Third time. Then he woke up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he realized he cannot perform the salah and the people are still waiting for him. Then he said, Muru Aba Bakrin falyusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr to stand up and go lead people in prayers. This is difficult. Can you imagine people are waiting? The Prophet is so sick, is so much in pain that he could not come from his house just to lead salah and go back home. Is he in such a bad shape? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who we will give up the world for? They were in pain. Can you imagine how Abu Bakr as-Siddiq received the message? Abu Bakr, you're being commanded, you lead. This is difficult. And he led. They had to move on. They had to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, and he prayed. But what about the second prayer? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't join the prayers. فَصَلَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ. And during these days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had Abu Bakr designated imam to lead the people in the salawat. Brothers and sisters, people used to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam often. Companions coming to the Prophet. And one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he feels that these moments are his, perhaps his last moments, he says a beautiful narration. He says, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ. None of you, while you feel like you're on your deathbed, don't you ever die and return back to Allah, except that you're thinking well of Allah. Think positive of Allah. Think that Allah will forgive me for my shortcomings. Allah will forgive me for all the wrong that I've done, inshallah. That's your optimism. So throughout your life, when you're healthy and you're strong, yes, have hope and fear. Have hope and fear. But maybe push fear even more, as some have suggested and advised. Because at the end of your life, you will push hope more than fear. And at the end, may Allah grant us all balance and wisdom. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, salah after salah, he was not present. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud came to visit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ready for this? When he came to see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in such a weak situation, never seen like that before, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he says, I touched the body of the Prophet ﷺ. I touched his body and it was so hot. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, inni araka tu'aku wa'kan shadid. Ya Rasulullah, I see you. You are so exhausted, so much in pain. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. Inni la'u'aku, my pain is double the pain of any human being. Allahu Akbar. Did you appreciate that moment? Don't let it pass by. The most beloved slave to Allah, the Prophet of Allah, the pain he's experiencing is double the pain of any human being. This comes to show you and I something very profound. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes something from someone, it doesn't mean that he does not like them. And when he gives a blessing to someone, it doesn't mean that he loves them. These worldly measures of who's rich and who's poor, who's strong and who's weak, who's fit and who's not, are not measurements to show whether Allah loves me or not. But the real measurements is the iman in the heart. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if Allah wants good for you, He grants you understanding of this deen. He grants you the understanding that allows you to put it into application. May Allah grant it to you and I. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did mention that. Now the student, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, of the greatest teacher, the Prophet of Allah, what do you think he will ask him? What did the student learn from his teacher? What's the most important thing ever? The pleasure of Allah, the reward from Allah. So the student Abdullah asks the Prophet of Allah, since you have doubled the pain, does that mean you have doubled the reward? So the Prophet ﷺ said, Ajal, yes, I do get double the reward. Then the Prophet ﷺ said the following. He says, there's no believer that ever goes through any pain, any sickness. They experience that. Small or big, emotional or physical, except that it becomes as means of erasing the sins of that person. The way leaves of a tree fall one after the other. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam struggling and struggling and struggling. But one time, one day during Dhuhr prayers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wajada fi nafsihi khiffa. He felt a little bit better. Allahu Akbar, a little bit better. And he wanted to join the companions and wanted to join the Abu Bakr as-Siddiq in the Salah. So he got Al-Abbas, his uncle. He got his cousin Ali ibn Abi Talib to carry the Prophet to join the Salah. Allahu Akbar. For sure the Sahaba will be excited. The door is open, curtain is open, and the Prophet ﷺ comes into the masjid. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq sees the Prophet ﷺ being carried. Aisha said the Prophet was being carried and his feet were dragging on the floor. That's how much weak the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's struggling, but he wants to make it to the salah. So he came. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq wants to take a few steps back. So the Prophet made with his hand a sign. O Abu Bakr, stay in your place. Stay in your place. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Al-Abbas and Ali, Ajlisani bijanibih, make me sit next to Abu Bakr. And the Prophet ﷺ sat next to Abu Bakr. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq followed the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet led Abu Bakr and Abu Bakr led the people behind. Allahu Akbar. People were rejoiced. Alhamdulillah. Even though the signs are not big of improvement, but a little bit, that's great inshaAllah. But that joy did not last for too long because the Prophet ﷺ didn't come after these prayers or came to lead again like that. And he stayed home so sick and so much in pain. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And don't forget to say what? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what happened. Fatima comes. Fatima, who's Fatima? Fatima, one of the greatest women that ever walked the face of this earth. Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The only child he had left. All of his children, male and female, have passed away. And Fatima is what's left. May Allah allow us to see her in Jannah. When she walked in, Aisha said, كَأَنَّهَا مِشْيَةُ أَبِيهَا. She walks just like her dad. She's just like her dad. And when she came, the Prophet ﷺ was so happy. He says, أَهْلًا وَمَرْحَبًا بِبْنَتِي. My beloved daughter, my sweetheart. And he made Fatima sit right next to him. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he whispered something into the ear of Fatima. Now we know what's that secret. Fatima رضي عنها, the Prophet ﷺ told her something. What did he tell her? He told her that Jibreel came to him and notified him that he will not be recovering from this sickness. This is it for him. There's no next year for him. This is it. He will be returning back to Allah. Fatima started to cry and cry and cry. And the people around are puzzled. What just happened? What did the Prophet ﷺ just tell Fatima? She cried. Then the Prophet ﷺ whispered something else to Fatima. And this time when he whispered, she had a huge smile. And she laughed and she got excited. Aisha said, I've never seen someone with mixed emotions in a short period of time like that before. What did the Prophet tell Fatima? The Prophet ﷺ told Fatima, Fatima, you will be the first one from the member of this family of Ahlul Bayt to reunite with me in the afterlife. Allahu Akbar. And he told Fatima, will you not be happy to know that you will be the queen of the women of Jannah? Allahu Akbar. She got happy and excited for that. Happy for being with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are you looking forward to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you and I trying our best to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because wallahi, if we will be with him, then we are in the best spot ever in the afterlife. May Allah allow you and I to be with him. If you truly, and if I truly want to be with him, he gave us so many action items. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who sponsors an orphan, the one who sponsors an orphan is just like this with me in Jannah. You see how close the two fingers are together? That's how close you will be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever has two sisters or two daughters and cares for them and supports them, then what happens? He will be just like this with me in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So that love of the Prophet of Allah is not just lip service. We gotta work really hard. May Allah ease things on you and I. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So when Fatima know I will be with you, O Prophet of Allah, as soon as possible, she got rejoiced. Brothers and sisters, however, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's health continued to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And Ali bin Abi Talib, the husband of Fatima, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the members of Ahlul Bayt, walks into the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And during these moments, what will the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? What will his advice be? Ready for this? I'll give you part of it, a powerful one. May Allah grant us sincerity. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Ali came and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to say, As-salah, as-salah. As-salah, as-salah. He's advising the people, hold steadfast your salah. As-salah, as-salah. Don't delay your salah, as-salah, as-salah. He kept repeating it. I'm not repeating it so many times just for the sake of it. The Prophet repeated the words, as-salah, as-salah. His wife said, he kept saying, as-salah, as-salah. Safeguard your prayers. Don't miss your prayers. As-salah, as-salah. Until his tongue can no longer say it. As-salah, as-salah. Struggling. As-salah, as-salah. Brothers and sisters, the salah is serious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Salah is an obligation upon the believers, an assignment on designated times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is the most beloved action to Allah? He said, الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا, praying on time. The matter of salah, it's a pillar of Islam. It's a pillar. You know what's a pillar? If you go to a house or a building that has a pillar in which the structure is leaning on, the structure depends on, if you destroy that pillar, if you take away that pillar, the whole structure falls. This is salah. When the people on the day of judgment, the people of Jannah, they go to Jannah, to paradise, and the people of hell, they go to hell. May Allah grant you and I to be in Jannah. One of the conversations of the people in Jannah is that they were wondering, where are the people in hellfire? What did they do for them to be in hellfire? So they go and they actually have a conversation. They say, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. Oh, you who is in hellfire, that fire that leaves nothing unburned. They ask them, what did you do for you to be here? Or what did you not do to be here? The first thing they say, look it up, Surah Al-Muddathir, the first thing they say, لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We never used to pray. We never took salah serious. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Allah we shall return. May Allah allow you and I to take salah serious, brothers and sisters. As I mentioned it before and I mention it again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, on the day of judgment, when Allah judges all of your deeds, the first thing Allah will ask you about, out of everything you've done throughout your whole entire life, the first thing Allah will ask you about your salah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you pass, if you do well in salah, then everything else will be fine and you will pass inshallah. But we want the proper salah. The salah not just of the outward body in terms of also speech, but in addition to that, the actions of the heart. Remember, actions of the heart plus actions of the body gives you the real result of salah. And the real result of salah is the one that makes you a better person. Allah says that prayer, تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. When you perform salah good, you are away from filth, away from vulgarity, away from indecency, away from bad character. May Allah protect us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and when someone fails a salah, they don't do good in salah, then everything else will not pass. May Allah forgive us and protect us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So be like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he was at home, he finished his work and so on, he's at home. As Aisha said, كان في مهنة أهله. He was serving his family, at the service of the family. But what did Aisha say? May Allah be pleased by her. But when the time of salah comes, قام إلى الصلاة. He got up to go pray. May Allah allow you and I to be steadfast upon salah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued to say, الصلاة, 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 الصلاة. Hold steadfast on your salah, brothers and sisters. And on Monday in the month of Rabi'il Awwal, in the year number 11, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is 63 years old. During Fajr prayers, so much in pain, exhaustion, weakness upon weakness, as the believers were praying Fajr prayer, the dawn early morning prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam pushed himself. He got up by himself. And he walked and he walked and he walked to the door in which there was a curtain, and he opened the curtain and he looked at the believers, looked at Abu Bakr and the ones behind him praying Salatul Fajr. The Sahaba, they said, we were about to lose our prayers. We were happy. Rasulullah qa'im, standing on his own. So the Prophet ﷺ signaled to Abu Bakr not to go back. He's about to go back. Don't go back. Stay where you're at. Told the believers, stay where you're at, continue your prayers. The Sahaba said, كَأَنَّهُ وَرَقَةُ مُصْحَفْ. His face was like a page of the Qur'an. This is an expression of how beautiful he looked, like fresh and bright. وَابْتَسَمْ. And he had a huge smile, looking at the state of the ummah, salah, and praying, and so on and so forth. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he let go of that curtain, and the curtain closed, brothers and sisters, and he went back to his place next to Aisha. And the pain was still there. The pain was so much. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had water next to him. So he used to put his hand into that water. And he used to wipe his face with that water. And he says, La ilaha illallah. No deity worthy of worship but Allah. Inna lil mawti lasakarat. Death, when someone nears death, it has its agonies. It has its moments of unconsciousness. You're in and out of this life. لا إله إلا الله إن للموت لسكرات. فاطمة رضي الله عنها, as she visited the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, she saw him in struggle. She saw him in pain. She said, وكرب أباه. Father, you're in such a horrible state, painful, distressful state. I feel so bad for you. وكرب أباه. Dad, you don't look so good. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Fatima, لَيْسَ عَلَىٰ أَبِيكِ كَرْبٌ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. After today, there will be no more pain. After today, there will be no more distress on your father. Allahu Akbar. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam rested his head on his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And while he's resting his body and head on her, he lost consciousness and he fainted. Aisha said, all of a sudden, his eyes opened up wide and he looked up in the ceiling and he raised his hand and he kept saying, فِي الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى فِي الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى, rather the higher companion, rather the higher companion. Aisha said, I remembered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught the people, that no prophet dies except that he's given two options: the option of staying longer in this life or the option to return back to Allah. So Aisha remembered, she said, إِذَا لَا يَخْتَارُنَا. He's not choosing to stay longer, he's choosing to go back to Allah. And the Prophet kept saying, فِالرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى, back to Allah, the higher companion, higher companion, higher companion. Then his hand dropped, his neck and head turned, and a cool breeze left his mouth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fatima, she was devastated. She said, Dad, Dad, you returned back to Allah. Dad, Dad, Ya Abatah, Ya Abatah, your place is in Jannah, the highest place in Jannah, al-Firdaus, Ya Abatah. Aisha was devastated. Fatima was similar. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he returned back to his Lord, people are hearing the news. He passed away. Abu Bakr Siddiq, he rushed to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came there. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not greeting him like the usual. He came, looked at the Prophet, and he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Allah we shall return. Mata Rasulullah. The Prophet of Allah has passed away. Then he looked at the Prophet and he kissed him. He says, Wa nabiyya, O Prophet of Allah. Wa khalila, O my best friend. Mata Rasulullah. The Prophet of Allah has died. He kissed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Tibta hayyan wa mayyitan ya Rasulullah. You look beautiful when you're dead and you're alive. Wallahi ya Rasulullah, you will never taste death once again. It's only once that you will go through this. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased by him, he headed towards the masjid and he saw the people so devastated, so much so that some people are saying things that are wrong, that have not common sense. Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased by him, he says, whoever says the Prophet died, I will kill him with my sword. Whoever says Muhammad has passed away, I will kill him. The Prophet of Allah is going to come back. He's going to come back. It's very difficult to comprehend. Rasulullah is dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr Siddiq came and told Umar, Ya Umar, ijlis, Umar, sit down, stop it. And Umar didn't. So Abu Bakr Siddiq went and continued walking, and the people followed Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sorry, then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he gave the speech and he said the following. He said, whoever used to worship the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. And whoever used to worship Allah, then Allah is alive and will never die. Then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, to make this a reality and make all people comprehend that yes, the Prophet does and basically is dead and we all go back to Allah, he quoted two verses in the Quran. He said, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. The verse that says, O Muhammad, you will die and all of us will die. Then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq quoted another verse in the Quran. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. Muhammad is not but a prophet like those that came before. All had to go back to Allah. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبِتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. So if a prophet of Allah, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead or gets killed, you will go back on your heels. You'll go back to your old ways. Then the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the people how this ayah is in the Quran. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq continued the ayah. وَمَن يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَن يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And if we go back to our old ways, if we go back on our heels, then Allah does not get hurt by that. Allah does not get harmed by that. Allah's dominion does not decrease by that. But then the ayah ends, وَسَيَجِزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And Allah will honor, will reward, will bless those who are grateful. May Allah make you and I amongst the grateful, Amir Rabbil Alameen. Umar said, أَوَ إِنَّهَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. These two verses you mentioned, are they in the Quran? Are they in the book of Allah? It's as if the first time he hears it, then Umar, legs can no longer hold him and he fell on the ground. Radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased by him. Brothers and sisters, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the Ummah had to move on, had to walk on the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they continued to do what? The washing of the body. And they washed the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while they kept the clothing of the Prophet on him. And the people from Ahlul Bayt, they washed the body from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Where will he be buried? Where is his grave? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that no prophet dies in the place except that he is to be buried in the place where he died. So that spot where the Prophet ﷺ died in his house, that's where his grave will be. And the people start to shovel. Can you imagine? Some companions, they said, when we heard the sound of the shovel, we realized this is real. This is real. Rasulullah ﷺ is returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's back to Allah. And then the body was brought. And now the funeral prayers upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And groups after groups were coming into the house of the Prophet, entering from one door, leaving from the other door. Men and women and children praying the funeral prayer upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, life had to move on. It's difficult, it's painful to cope with it. But Allah will never assign us something that we cannot handle. So the believers, they came together and they chose a successor. And they chose Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was chosen and he came to deliver a speech, listen to what he said. He began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he told the people, I have been appointed as a leader on you, yet I'm not the best one amongst you. However, if I do good, then please help me and support me. If I do bad, then please advise me. He said, truthfulness is a trust. Lying is a betrayal. Then he says, never does a group of people let go of jihad on the path of Allah, striving on the path of Allah and struggling on the path of Allah, except that Allah will humiliate such people. They will look so little in the eyes of the enemy. And he says, there's no society, no group of people that get involved into decency, immodesty, filth and vulgarity, and all types of negativity of such sort. Whoever gets into that of society, Allah will send down diseases and calamities upon them. Then he says, obey me so long as I obey Allah and His Prophet. And once I disobey Allah and His Prophet, then you guys don't need to obey me anymore. Then he says, قُومُوا إِلَى صَلَاتِكُمْ يَرْحَمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Stand up, it's time to pray. Brothers and sisters, the time moved. And guess what? One member of the family of the Prophet ﷺ passed away. Who was it? Fatima radiallahu anha. The first one to return back to Allah from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The prophecy of Muhammad has happened. And the da'wah, the call to Allah needs to continue. And the worship of Allah is to continue. Brothers and sisters, the call to Allah is bigger than any person. It's bigger than all the prophets. The call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it were to die, then it would have died with the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it had to continue. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, 2 years of being a leader, then he passed away. Then Umar took over the leadership. And Allahu Akbar, prophecies of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are happening. The Roman Empire got conquered. The Persian Empire got conquered. Allahu Akbar, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Umar passed away. Then Uthman became the leader. Then he passed away. Then Ali bin Abi Talib became the leader. Then he passed away. And time has passed. There were ups and there were downs. Then you and I came. And you and I now carry the torch to send the message of Islam within our capacity, within our capability, as the Prophet said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey about me, even if it was one ayah, one verse, one authentic narration to share with the people within your capacity. You can deliver speeches, deliver. You can write, then write. Do whatever you can with your capacity. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Then what happens? Then you and I will die, and then the next generation comes. And Allah knows best till when? Until the Prophet ﷺ told us, Angel Israfil, an angel of Allah whose job is to blow into the trumpet. And once he blows into that trumpet, the world comes to an end. This whole life that we lived, from the time of Prophet Adam to the last living being, once it's blown into that trumpet, everything is over. Angel Israfil is looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waiting for the command. Then Allah gives him the command. And Angel Israfil blows, and everyone returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only Allah remains, and whomever Allah wills. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his angel Israfil to blow once more. And angel Israfil blows into the trumpet, and all the bodies, no matter where someone died, in the ocean, in the mountains, buried under the ground, the body comes together. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the first grave to open up is my grave. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up from the grave. Where is our appointment? Remember the appointment? Next to the water basin, next to the water tank, Al-Hawd. So the Prophet ﷺ, he goes so fast before you and I, and he's waiting for the believers to come. And they're coming one after the other. Allahu Akbar, this is the time where you and I, inshallah, may Allah make you and I be able to see the Prophet ﷺ on that day. So we go to the Prophet ﷺ, and this is the first time that we see him. Allahu Akbar, how will the Prophet know us? You know how he will know us? From the signs of the wudu. From the signs that we'll do that we are about to go pray. May Allah make us steadfast upon salah. Then we join the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses his ultimate wish for the judgment to begin, to intercede for the people, to intercede for his ummah. And Allah accepts his intercession. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the judgment begins. And everyone goes, inshallah, from the believers into Jannah. May Allah make you and I there. But hold on, hold on. We can't go to Jannah first. The Prophet ﷺ is there at the gate of Jannah. He will knock. Then the angel, the gatekeeper says, who is this? He says, it's Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Then they say, this, the person, you were the one we were commanded to open the doors for. Then the doors open and Prophet Muhammad ﷺ enters. And inshallah, I pray to Allah to make you and I among the ones that enter after the Prophet ﷺ. And the caller calls four things. Go to Jannah. You will always be happy and never be sad. You will always be healthy and never be sick. You will always be young and strong. And you will never, never become old and weak. And you will always be alive and you will never die. We go there. May Allah make us with the Prophet ﷺ. Someone complained to the Prophet. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm so concerned. You go to Jannah, you're all the way up. As for me, I do a little bit of deeds. If I make it, I'll be maybe in a lower level in Jannah. Then the Prophet ﷺ said four words. The companions, they said, when we heard these four words, it was the second happiest moment in our lives after accepting Islam. What did the Prophet say? Al-mar'u ma' man ahab. The person will be with whom they love. Allahu Akbar. May Allah fill our hearts with love to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as I said before, that love is to be translated into actions. May Allah protect us. May Allah grant us the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I intended to end on a good note where we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. May Allah make it possible for all of us. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, Jazakumullah khair. May Allah grant you all goodness for your patience of listening to this session and for listening to the previous session if you did. May Allah grant you all ease to be able to learn about the Prophet ﷺ. This is just the beginning. There's much more work to be done. We need to continuously learn about the Prophet ﷺ, learn about the Book of Allah, and continue to revisit the life of the Prophet ﷺ to increase our love towards him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you and I to be of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Thank you very much for your patience. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.